Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, there are voices, the symbol of cold, the feminine of it, till I reach my threshold, staring at the truth of life. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, spilling out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold, staring.
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday. It's time for your favorite infusion of news, music, and nonsense. Daniel, crewed up on the board, I believe we have Brooklyn Black or Tasha. I'm never sure who's behind there. But either one or both or either. So here we are. We're going to get some news, but let's do some housekeeping first. This episode is the one I think everyone thought was going to be the first episode. We're going to be handling toxic masculinity and problematic culture and cancel culture. So that's coming up at 9:15. The obvious news between 9 and 9:10. Always hit us up at the Black NPR Pod at Black NPR Pod Twitter. So you can hit that there. Also, blacknpr@outlook.com. So if you have any questions, concerns, or topics, or things that you think I got wrong, or you think that I'm yelling at guests, or I'm wrong about a thing, please hit me up so I can yell at you in private. Or call the number, which I don't think I do a good enough job in saying, is 347-857-4302. So let's get into it. Tonight, we've got the State of the Union, which will be pretty interesting to watch. I won't be watching it. I'll be talking to you guys about shitty men. Pretty much it's going to be Trump coming, and we're going to see what he's going to say to the nation after he pretty much had his ball handed to him by Nancy Pelosi. Should be interesting. I mean, generally speaking, when he does the State of the Union, he tends to do a decent job at it. In terms of just reading from a controlled script, his issue seems to be when he wings it, and that's when he has a problem. Other thing we learned this week is that the majority of his week, 60 hours of the week, to be exact, is something scheduled executive time. And executive time, I don't know if you guys were in high school, and it was a thing called a free period, right? So technically, you could have studied in your free period. Technically, you could have went to the guidance counselor in the free period. Technically, you could have studied for classes in the free period. But if you were like me or anybody else, because I went to Catholic school, so I wasn't allowed out, you spent that time dicking off, rolling dice, fucking, if you were so described, smoking, getting drunk, laying around, napping. No one did shit in a free period. And if your free period came at the end of the day, you just went the fuck home. So the majority of his week is spent as a free period. So, I mean, I can go into it. This is not, I try to be not forward with this. I try not to be, all right, this is my opinions, but I put one and two together if you figure out what's going on. What else is going on? Cory Booker, we have two black people running for on the Democratic side. It seems like black people are really not fucking with Kamala Harris like that. And, I mean, normally we think, oh, it's because she's a woman. But, no, I think it's just because she was kind of a dick in terms of her her prosecutorial fucking word. But how she prosecuted black people, she seemed to be pretty aggressive about it. And her white dude, who looks like his name is Bill, he probably has another name, but he looks like a Bill. It's not helping her out. Now, Cory Booker, on the other hand, pretty okay. I mean, I don't think anyone's really upset with him other than the fact that when he said today who's he with, and his response is he's in a relationship, I got a boo. I don't know about you guys. I don't like when people who don't use black language, black language, you know what I mean, urban language, they don't use it normally and decide to use it sparingly. It really bothers me. Like, honestly, wouldn't have a problem with a person using boo than I do with a black person who would not normally use boo because I know what they're trying to do. But with that being said, I think, you know, Cory Booker seems like he's got, you know, like the people behind him, and we'll keep. I think we have to do a political show soon. I want to get my Republican guy on the line, get some Democratic guys, get Braff on here, and see what we can do with that. Also in the news today, it's been kind of burning up the internet. I've only really seen one side of the argument, is the Liam Neeson thing. Liam Neeson said in an interview with, I think, the British paper, I don't think it was the Globe, but he gave an interview pretty much saying that a friend of his had got raped once back in the day, and he was so pissed that he used to walk around with a big stick. That's Irish, a big stick of cosh. And he's walking around with cosh, looking to be in the head of a black bastard. So he wanted to be in a black bastard, and so he walked around with a bunch of cash after some closed out and walked around with the hope that some black dude would start some shit so he could bash his head in. He realized he was fucked up about it and decided not to do it. Like, you know what, I fucked up, I made a mistake, da da da. Now, there's two arguments here. Like, I think you can make the argument of, like, a positive, like, hey, this is a dude who realized he was wrong and made changes and didn't do it. And he was like, you know what, I fucked up. I get that. I have a friend of mine that something awful had happened, and I was in that situation, so I get it. But the second token is that when he was like, what he took away from it, he was drawing it into a revenge dynamic, saying that, hey, you know what, you don't want to go out for revenge. His mistake, in my opinion, I think this might be a cultural shift, a cultural difference, is that when he invoked black, he needed to address black on the mea culpa, and I don't think he did. And I think he's washed right now, at least until the next person does something terrible. I'm going to watch that movie because I like revenge movies, and I like people not knowing it's coming and getting it. That's why I think John Wick does so well. That's why I think all the Jesus Christ, I'm thinking of another movie. I'm blanking. But any movie where someone's like, I'm not going to get it, and then dudes like bearing down on them, I think it does it for you, especially if you're like an old dude like me. It's fucking great. We'll keep up with it, but I mean, I feel like he didn't do the best job he could have with, clearing this up, because he's going to look bad. So he says, oh, well, I cleared it up by power walking. That's not the answer people wanted to hear. He should have said, hey, I fucked up. I made a mistake. I realize that black people are not all the same, but he tied it into the revenge, which is the episode, but guess what the movie's supposed to be about. Also in the news, let's speak last story. Super Bowl was yesterday, Sunday, not that anybody watched it. I watched it just for the commercials, really, but I also see the Pats lose, which I didn't. It's getting fucking out of control. We wanted to do a sports show, believe it or not. I was going to have like a bunch of people on, and we're going to talk sports, but guess what? Not in the mood to talk about sports. Boston keeps fucking winning. It's making me sick. And I realize why Boston keeps winning, because of all the places I've ever been, Philly's one of them, Chicago's another, New York is one of those. It's a sports city. You can't dick off in Boston. Like, you can't be a team and dick off. People stop going, man. People be like, fuck you, I'm not going. I'm not going to watch this shit. For whatever the reason, the Mets, only team in New York City that's not like that is the Yankees. And even them, I feel like they're starting to get there after George Steinbrenner died. But they know that we're going to go and support and pay all this fucking money to see it, because that's what we're going to do. Also, people go as a form of entertainment. So I'm going to go see the Yankees tonight. That's going to be like a fun night. And I'll admit, when we go see the Yankees with the group that we have, we go and get fucked up. That's nothing to do with the game. It's nothing to do with the baseball game at all. It's about getting fucked up and pulling out breath. That's all it is, really. But I also understand that I'm contributing to the thing that I hate, so I apologize for that completely. I'm trying to think if there's anything else quickly we could kind of jump into. I guess in terms of sports, you got what's his name? Anthony Davis trying to go to the Lakers, but it's looking like that's not going to happen. I would love him to go to Lakers, but I feel like basketball really should only be about 4 to 5 teams, is what it looks like to me. 4 to 5, all the really good players will be like 3 to 4 teams and shoot for. But as it stands, the Warriors are going to win every year. Anywho, that was the news. If you have any suggestions, something I haven't said before, if you have any weird news stories you want me to read, anything that's interesting, anything that you want me to cover, hit me on Twitter, blacknprpod.com. Any news stories, even if it's a weird one or something interesting that you think that would be convenient for the first 10 minutes of the show. So we might even stretch it out. We might do a whole news episode, which would be pretty rad, and get the Holy Trinity of Brass and Branch on and see what's going on, the DVB, if you will. But anywho, we're going to hop into the ad, And after the ads, we have a song by GL, which I think you're going to love. It came out this week. And after that, we'll get into Toxic Masculinity with Christina Clemente. Be right back.
Yo, shout out to those that help us keep the lights on over here at Pregame Radio. Check out ME Productions for all your digital media production needs. Like them on Facebook at ME Productions with a Z and email them at heyme.tv@gmail.com. Also, check out LitBK. Check them out at litbkny.com. Check out their Black Star Power Tees featuring some of your favorite entertainers and use the code PREGAMEISLIT at checkout for 20% off all your purchases. Also, check out iCraveWear. Check them out at iCraveWear.com. Pick up your Facts t-shirt representing your hood and pick up your Brooklyn Certified pins, t-shirts, and more. Use the code PREGAME at checkout for 15% off your order.
Going on. That was What About Us by GL. It's a fucking bop. It's a goddamn slap. Something to kind of smooth you into this conversation. It's me, Daniel, back to the mighty Black NPR. And joining me is the lovely, talented, brilliant, God-fearing Christina Clemente. How are you, my love?
How are you? I'm I'm doing well.
Okay, I expect tonight to be hot because I've been hit by a lot of people in my inbox and things saying I got a lot to say about this. I'm assuming it's all wrong. But before we even take the first phone call, I want you to give your, because this is fucked up, you even have to do this. Forget, this is a reason I'm doing it. What is your credentials? What gives you the right to be able to speak on this topic?
Myself?
Yes.
Well, I think that when we talk about the genders, we are complements of one another. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we all participate in some way as, you know, gender norms. We all participate in that. It's not just men that need to be the topic of conversation tonight, because women are active participants in perpetuating toxic masculinity as well. So
okay,
I think that
know, well,
it's
let's,
important.
Can we loop around to that, Christina? Let's loop to that part. I agree with you. I'm not even arguing. I agree with you 100%. Let's just take it in baby steps. Let's work our way up to that point. Because I don't want to start with what women need to do, because I feel like it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense. Like, you understand, like, women have a part in it. I agree. But let's
yes.
work to their part in it. Let's not start with their part in it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, I was just saying, you know, as far as why I should speak on it, because
oh,
we...
Oh,
no,
I'm talking about in terms of your professional credentials.
Well, I'm a therapist. I'm a social worker licensed in New York State. I know a thing or two about human behavior
okay.
and society and how that affects us all. So, yeah, I can add to the conversation on that end as well.
Awesome, yeah, because I don't want there to be any, like, oh, what she know, what she talking about. This is somebody who's learning what she's talking about. Let's get into it. You sent a really cool article today in regards to what toxic masculinity is. We're going to get into it, what specifically is. I'm going to read a word definition specifically of what toxic masculinity is. Okay? Sure, I want to read it out properly, and I want to fuck it all up. We're also going to be talking about cancel culture as well. Now, my opinion...
That's an important thing, though, Danny, and that how you're starting that with defining it, because I often think that when this topic is discussed, everybody's talking about different things, so it's important for you to define what we're talking about.
I want to be very clear. Now, generally speaking, the way I would imagine people say toxic masculinity, the word's really hegemonic masculinity, to be fair, but it pretty much stands for, I want to make sure that I read this in the most clear way possible. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read this and be kind of wordy, but I feel like it's necessary. In contemporary American and European culture, hegemonic masculinity or toxic masculinity serves as a standard upon which real man is defined. According to R.W. Connell, contemporary masculinity is built on two legs, domination of women, and a hierarchy of intermale dominance. It is also shaped to a significant extent by the stigmatization of homosexuality. I'm using the word we normally use, not the word that it actually is. Toxic masculinity is a stereotypic notion of masculinity that shapes socialization and aspiration of young males. Today's toxic masculinity in the United States of America and Europe includes a high degree of ruthless competition, an inability to express emotions other than anger, and an unwillingness to admit weakness or dependency, devaluation of women and all feminine attributes in men, homophobia, and so forth. Did I miss anything, or is that pretty much it?
There you go.
Okay. That was it. Now, why do you feel people have such a hard time with that?
Because I shouldn't say they. I think that individual men, groups of men, feel very attacked in our society, especially today, because we are identifying a lot of things that were socially acceptable once upon a time that we are now changing. And I guess that it is perceived by them to be an attack a lot of times on men.
Yeah.
it's an identity issue. You know, they identify with a lot of the things unconsciously of, I would say, a lot of the time, because no one's going to play them. Hmm?
Now listen.
Oh, they identify with a lot of, so for them, it's like an attack on who they are.
I agree with you, but I also want to add, I feel like if your father or your grandfather, because that's right, I know you left the group. There's another group that we belong to that I created. And it's a conversation about, it was a joke, really. It was just like, but when a black person is your father, and it's turned into a really open dialogue about men's fathers who have left, right? Like, oh, like, okay, so your father's dipped the fuck off, and what happened? And it's interesting because it's black people and it's white people, but they all have a common thread of, like, an immature man who couldn't maintain or just split the scene or stuck around and was not viable. You know, like, oh, came around, or was available only tertiarily, and et cetera. So, but it's also interesting to see a lot of people having a hard time with the conversation as adults, and why dwell on things that happened before, why you bitching and moaning, but it's like, let people speak their truth. But I feel like you're not taught to, you know, you're not given the language of pain, so you can't say, well, that fucked me over in this way, or I feel bad about that. But I bring it up and say, like, if you had a father in your life, and you loved him, and he was like a good dude, but he gave you fuck shit. But you didn't see it as fuck shit. Just, that's just your birthright. Like, hey, you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to be upset. And that's what your father taught you. Those are the lessons he gave you. And then the next day, someone's going, that's all wrong. That's a repudiation of your father. And I think a lot of people are having a hard time with it because of the repudiation of a person that they, a bulwark of their personality.
Yeah, I think it's hard for people to separate. I think it's important, though, that we start separating things people do from who they are and identifying and stamping that. And I'm sure if we talk about cancel culture, we'll talk more about that. But it's you know, you have to separate that. You know, there's things, I think my mom was one of the best mothers ever, but are there things that I have gone away from in my own parenting? Absolutely. There are things that I will not continue to do that she did. Do I identify her as that? No.
But I think some people, it's so intrinsic of who they are, right? But I feel like I, you know, like if you like have your dad and your grandfather and your grandfather before that had said, like, hey, a woman should provide, a woman should cook, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And men should not need anybody, right? Like you shouldn't be self-sufficient in a way where it's like, okay, well, obscene to the point, like, a woman can't make more than you because then you're not a man. But that doesn't jive with the culture, with the world we live in, because women are getting educated and are making as much, if not more, than you. So it's hard to measure yourself to a metric that no longer exists. So if a woman's worth $5 billion, if I have a friend, and she might be listening, but it's fine. We've discussed this before. And she did well. She got educated. She worked her way up. She had that thing that some black people have, some black people don't, where they're able to work in all environments easily. And I think that's a skill that not all of us have. So she was able to go into certain worlds and be the only one and thrive while maintaining her blackness. And she had a hard time finding somebody who fucked with those, because she was somebody who was making a decent amount of money, had a really good title, and was educated. Didn't really need anybody. And there's a lot of men she dealt with who were, I don't want to say intimidated, because that's too negative. That's a pejorative, I believe. But it's like they didn't feel like that was a story that they were told. They were told that, hey, I'm the provider. I'm the one who's supposed to bring you into the light, not the other way around. And it took a while to find, I mean, she's married now, so it worked out for her, but there was a stretch where it wasn't. And she was like not, and this is going to sound fucked up, but she wasn't, and like you would think, oh, she mentioned, like, cleaned up. But because she was intelligent and had like this job, I mean, she was an idiot, she would have cleaned up. It just, matter of fact, but because she had this job and she had things going on, she had a hard time because dudes would find out that she didn't need them and it would be an issue.
And it goes right back to
to, you know, identity issues. Like, if you're only identifying yourself as a financial provider, especially for Black men, and in this society that we're in, what does that then say about you and your self-esteem? And if you then have blows to your self-esteem because you're identifying as this one thing, if you don't look like this one little picture, then, you know, that's a dangerous thing. It's just like women who can only, you know, feel good about themselves when they're in a relationship.
But we just put a post up today, you saw my thing, about people who get married for the sake of being married. That's the inverse of this, right? So, like, you've been told your entire life you ain't shit unless you're married, because you're not a woman until you've been married and had kids. You don't understand life. You know what I mean? And then when people get married, they subconsciously or consciously will rub it in a single woman's face and be like, well, you have not reached this point. And then there was my ex, I could say my ex-wife, because that's common fucking knowledge. Her sister was mad at her because she felt like she had got stepped over, because me and my ex-wife got married. I was 21. She was like 18. She felt as old as this. She did not keep, she stepped over her line by getting married and having a kid first, because that was her birthright to get married and have a kid first. Now, her sister's a social worker and of great renown. Like, she's worked in great places. They flew her out to London to work for a couple of years. I mean, like, she's got a wonderful career, a great social life, but it wasn't enough because she didn't have that marriage and kid under her belt. But I feel like that's the inverse of it. If you want to say toxic femininity, I didn't believe that's toxic femininity.
Absolutely. I have no problem with people coining that phrase either, you know, because it's out there.
So they treat women, then when you put yourself in a position, if you get married, women then treat other women shittily. Or if you're like, hey, you're not, like, if a woman's like, hey, I'm going to deal with you, we're talking about toxic femininity, you're dealing with somebody and like, well, you're not marriage material, that's not fair. That's not fucking fair. Because I don't want to be married. Maybe I just want to be, that's not what I want. Maybe that's not my situation. But you're putting me into a bubble and forcing me into the role of a provider that I didn't want to be in. Maybe I don't want to take care of you. You know, I want to take care of me, and I want to have fun with you. That's toxic femininity. So all of you knuckle-dragging assholes who want something to use tomorrow in your arguments online, you can take that part and run with it. But I'll see I want a penny or a nickel every time I fucking see the argument made, because I know you got it from me. She ain't being bright enough to come up on your own. Anywho. Fucking moron.
But yeah, it's an identity thing, and it's a power and control thing, you know. Everything is a power and control thing, and if you know, sometimes it's difficult because people can be so black and white in their thinking that unless you really are a knuckle dragging, you know, choke slamming of women person, oh well, yeah, that's toxic masculinity. It has to be this horrible, blatant, overt, you know, display for it to be toxic, but, you know, there's very covert signs of toxic masculinity.
That's not toxic masculinity, that's just abuse. But the niggas think toxic masculinity is just a nigga that fuck bitches, fuck niggas. No, that's just a crazy nigga. Toxic masculinity is everyone going, Kamala Harris had an affair with some dude. You know what I'm saying? That's toxic masculinity. That she talks about, so Kamala Harris fucks some nigga, so she's not, you know, capable of being the president. That's not why. Because she's shitty in terms of putting niggas in jail. That's why. Based on what she's done, not who she's done. Or going like, hey, for example, like, now this is such a weird thing, and this is his own show, and that's all right, so I don't want to derail it, but the whole Jussie Smollett thing. Like, because he's gay, he's a liar. No. I think she's lying because it doesn't add up. Like, the gay shit has nothing to do with it. But the fact that some people lead with he was out looking for dick and he probably got caught and someone didn't want it and that's why he's lying, that's toxic masculinity.
Absolutely. And that's the same thing that, you know, that a lot of people do to women. You know, and just by thinking that way, you know, people don't see the dehumanization in it.
Yeah, but that's exactly right. So we're going to use the Liam Neeson thing for example, just as a point of reference, right?
Woo.
Now, yeah, we're going to use that as a point. Yeah, it's hot, right? As a point of reference. Liam Neeson comes in, he goes, da da da, da oh, you know, this is my woman, a friend of mine got raped, and then it's, you know, like, I went out with a stick and I'm going to smash some black monster's head in. And was, oh, shit, I heard Black Bastard and stick, I'm done. But with that being said, okay, he said, I apologize for that and the third, I was fucked up, I was wrong, etc. Now, his privilege is to say, I was going to smash some nigga's head in. And it's just this homey story about redemption. Now, if a black dude would have been like, you know, someone raped my fucking queen, and I was gonna go out like and smash her first honky's head, you know, some white bass's head, I came in, it wouldn't have gone over so well. Nigga would have been blackballed because he would have looked like a fucking psychopath.
Possibly.
Now
yeah.
That
they definitely
yeah.
yeah.
Now, that's the value he has. Now, in terms of male masculine, like in terms of toxic masculine, to try to loop it together to what we're talking about, it's by saying that, like, hey, you're in a position of strength, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You started ahead. The reason that we're mad at him for saying that is because he's white, and by saying that puts him in a position of, like, hey, we can't be racist to white people because white people have all the power. Now, what I would love to get our king stand is that we're in a position of power. So women cannot be sexist.
You and me both, Danny. There's a line.
it's a straight line, but people don't seem to get it. They move gay. They're going like, well, he's a gay man. It's like, all right, yes. You're in a position under us because at the same level, like, hey, as a black man, I could have got married 15 years ago. And I did. Gay people
mm-hmm.
couldn't. So, like, it's different, but the same. So that toxic masculinity, is not getting that there's a difference and not getting that you're hurting people by saying what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And arguing these bullshit, because I know we're getting a call tonight from a particular person, whoever, especially, I'm not going to say his name, but I know he's going to call in here with some bullshit. And it's going to be logistical argument. The thing is that when you're talking about something like this, I feel like it's black and white. So you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you are somebody who's a person, you this, you live. You have feelings and emotions. When you
mm-hmm.
see an argument about someone going, well, you know, as an equal, I should be able to hit you, right? If you want equal rights, how does it make you feel to see somebody who looks like you make that argument publicly?
It drives me crazy when black men make certain arguments about sexism because they experience racism. And you know, they do the exact same thing that white people do when discussing racism, which is that I don't.
And then use the same tactics that Trump supporters do.
The same. And it's
all right. So we're
like,
this is a soul aside situation. But are you familiar with the Venezuelans in Trinidad?
Oh, that they're going to execute. I saw it. I did not read the article, though.
But just the general, not so specific, but the general tone that Trinidadians are taking towards Venezuelans.
No, I don't. No.
They're pretty much going, they're rapists and they're murderers, and they're letting them in here, and they're taking our jobs. Sound familiar? And they're coming in here,
yeah.
And they're being let in here, and, like, we don't know. We don't got no space for them. We need to tighten these borders up. Who the fuck are we to take these people in? And they're racist and they get us. And the thing is, they're like, wait. And then everyone's like trying to point out, you guys sound like Trump supporters. And they go, we can't be Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And now that's separate to the argument, but I think it's an argument of not realizing that you have a position of power in
mm-hmm.
your field. Like in my house, I might be the worst nigga in the world. I'm a janitor and I have nothing going on. But if I have a kid, I am that person's power structure. So whatever I do in the house with my kid or the people who are under me, I'm not a nobody. I have fucking draw. Same way as a man
mm-hmm.
in a space where if me and you were out, you know, maybe we were out, me and you hung out before, and if someone said something and I didn't speak up on your behalf, that's me being an asshole because I have cadre that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
As a man,
absolutely.
I have stand that you don't have. So I could be like, no, like, blah, blah, blah. But I could say, like, no, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't people get that?
Because they're human beings. And funny enough, all the things that divide us, like sexism, racism, you know, extremists, people who are extremists, you know, want to divide us so much and say, oh, well, white people are like this, or women are like this, or men are like this, when really human beings are quite similar, and we do the same things, and our brains work very, very similarly. And so, you know, a lack of empathy, when you only see something wrong when it's happening to you, you know, is a immature sense of morality. And a lot of people are not interested in ending oppression of any kind. People are interested in becoming the oppressor, you know, and that goes for all groups. You know, I've often said that people's morality doesn't extend to others, and therefore it cancels it out.
That's what,
if your morality doesn't extend to everybody, then, you know, why should it extend to you?
That's the 100. Like, whenever something happens, or whenever everybody makes an argument, I agree to the general intellectual argument of meth and crack suffers, right? So I get people who are in heroin epidemic and crack epidemic. I understand that society has handled them differently. But, like, but I also understand that, like, it's different in the fact that people smoke crack went from negative to negative, meaning that they were doing cocaine, and then someone said, hey, fam, you're breaking the law already. You might as well try this shit. But most heroin epidemics started from a legal thing. They got fucked up by socially acceptable. Now, agreed, the law is handling it completely different because of race. But I can have empathy for people who are getting fucked up in a game because they broke their arm once.
Oh, yeah, I work with them every day. I work with, you know, many opiate addicts and all sorts of, you know, addicts every single day. And while, yes, I feel like the opiate epidemic is, in a sense, chickens coming home to roost.
Because you saw the article where they were not trying to prescribe, opiates. So we're not doing it. It's like, it's just not something we want to do. And then Purdue said, no, we're good. Don't worry about it. Let's prescribe it to everybody for everything because they want to get their bread up. But then what happened was, you know, people found out with pill mills and what have you, and they found a way to fuck themselves up. And then the government slow to react. All right, let's stop the pill mills. And then people being the creative, inventive people they are, because there's studies saying that addicts are the descendants of the most successful adapters is what I believe the study said. Because they have the instinct to want more and more and more. So generally their ancestors are people who hoarded food and needed to eat constantly. So they were able to spread the DNA more. They found a way to be like, oh, heroin's the same shit. Let's just do heroin. Heroin's not pills. Trash. So people are fucked up. Now, I also agree with that, but I feel like we don't have – you know the term, and you can describe it if you want, situational empathy. You're familiar with that term, right? Could you describe it for everybody?
Situational empathy is, you know, empathy in which, you know, it's more individualized. Something that you see, you know, in the moment that you can extend yourself to at least see, well, that would suck if it was happening to me. That's pretty much situational empathy.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people don't have it. I feel like more people have empathy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks to me, or what have you, or that sucks, what have you. What I did, like, hey, like, when I saw the Liam Neeson story, I was like, oh, shit, I mean, I get that. That would suck. Or, like, if something happened to a lady or something's weird, like, oh, I also understand that. But, like, I'm always getting these arguments about toxic masculinity, and they're so one-sided. They're not one-sided, but it's almost like I'm not listening to what, like, and you've been in arguments about toxic masculinity. How's been your experience been?
Oh, people are just triggered by the word, you know, kind of like feminism. People are just triggered by the word. They call it whatever they want. You know, most of what I've gotten from a lot of black men are, even when it comes to the Me Too movement, even understanding how disproportionately black women, you know, are affected by the things that the Me Too movement is bringing to light, Even understanding that, it's, oh,
the black
women
lie. Started a goddamn Me Too movement.
Yeah, well, exactly. And what I'm getting most from the same people who tell me, you know, leave feminism alone, it's about being black, it's about being black. Okay, well, when we're talking about black women's issues, I get, well, they lie. You know, so.
They're liars.
It's an interesting thing.
Also, I've been
to
tell Chantal this all the time, so I don't know if she's listening, but I tell her all the time. It says, living in New York, being black and as a woman, your number one issue is being a woman. Now, if you're in the South or if you're in another place, being black is number one, 100% civilized. Being a woman is 100% worse than being black because you can't, like, people are going to give me a shot. Like, I might not get all the shots, but they're going to give me one. You ain't even going to get that. People are going to assume that you're a loud, true, know-it-all off Jump Street. Before they even recognize that you're black, they're going to be like, oh, she's fucking annoying, blah, 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 blah. Then they're like, oh, she's black on top of it. Oh, she must have an attitude.
Yep. Yep.
I don't get, they don't realize I'm black until much later. Like, have you ever had this situation where someone goes, oh, I don't even realize, I forget you're black. Has anyone ever said that to you?
No.
Yeah. Because you're a woman. You're a fucking woman. As a man, don't you keep your shit to yourself? People just see your dick. And then long story, you know, without saying anything to it, it's like, oh, that's a dude. This is a dude. Mm-hmm. This is another dude just like me. And then as to like, they really, like, gleam you to go like, oh, man, all right, this is black too. That's why you'll never get that extra shot. Like, that's why you'll never get that late corner bump, you know what I mean? The thing that pushes you up top. You ain't even getting that far.
An interesting thought experiment that someone gave to me one time was, okay, if you had to choose, what would you end in the world, racism or sexism?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I was like, oh, my God.
That's like, a hard one, too.
It was a hard one until I realized that if I ended racism, I would still have a hard time as a woman.
Yeah.
If I, however, ended sexism,
me and
my people might be more unified and therefore able to deal with racism more. You know, people may disagree with that, whatever, but the point is that I have both of those things to worry about. And on one hand, yeah, I may have, you know, white women that don't really give a damn about me, extra body or extra vote, because, you know, they're not thinking about black folks. They're not concerned about the things that happen to black bodies, all of that. But on the other hand, I also have black men who aren't very concerned about, you know, the things that happen to black women.
So when a black man gets killed, he gets clipped and dead, everyone's marching. It's like, oh, he's dead, or he's fucked up, or a black dude gets fucked up in a game, or upset, we need to get him out. But then when a chick gets fucked up in a game, in some level, the words are not, that's like, what does it do? Like, there's a video that I just saw today, and it's a chick, it's a woman, oh God, it's awful. But it's a mom, it's a teenager, she's like 16. The mom's boyfriend was like feeling her up. And she like goes to tell the mom, like, hey, and all this thing's been feeling me up. And the mom, what did you do to make that nigga feel you up?
Mm-hmm.
And now to your original point, in terms of toxic masculinity, that is an outpouring of that. And that is taking toxic masculinity and making it her mentality going, what are you doing? What is your situation? What? Because a man wouldn't just do something without your fucking appeal to. You are in control of it.
And also that men are, you know, men are going to have this, you know, debased behavior just because they're men. You know, I think that's an insult, you know, to allow that type of behavior. But also understanding, especially from times past and historically, What are you going to do as a woman if he's the provider of the household? You know, when women didn't have as many options as we do today, what are you going to do? He's paying all of the bills. You know, there is a paradigm to all of it, you know. So what can, even till today, when you see the wifey versus side chick conversations, And you have women so adamant about, no, you know, she is her too. It's the side chick too. She knew what she was doing. Yet, a lot of times people say, oh, but she's not going to leave him. And that's why a lot of times she's going to go after that woman, because that's the safer person to go after.
Yeah.
You actually to reevaluate your relationship and leave the person that's not valuing you, that's a very scary thing for a lot of women. So it's a lot easier for me to go beat.
Because you don't want to go to, and we say this a lot, I mean, I say this a lot. Yep. We need to hang out again and have our 3-hour conversations. That's what we do. But it was pretty much saying that if you go to him and go, you need to make a choice, you are now confronted with being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to her, you are at least now fighting in a realm where you don't have to be confronted with what you already know. So if I say, hey, I'm the side nigga, and I go to, hey, you want to pick a nigga, now I'm in a position where a choice has to be made. But if I go to that nigga directly, I'm now fighting. I'm now in a position where I'm not having to deal with your underlying feeling towards me.
Exactly.
So you shoot up. You shoot up into the fucking space, and I'm going to fight this bitch, and I'm going to fight her, and I'm going to fight,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna show up on the fucking thread talking about blah, 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 blah. Because, you know, most dudes in an instance of... Are you watching Love After Lockup?
No.
We had a full show about that the other week. But there's a dude, and he has got these two chicks, and one chick knows about the other chick at now, I guess. But it's no big deal because, like, she's not the financial provider, but he's the emotional provider. She's not about to cut him off and be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
the behavior usually does continue. But there are women so proud to say, "Listen, oh yeah, I'm gonna get her." You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's some level you have to feel an issue of way, so like what's going on. Or say, like, I think that's the woman's responsibility. I feel like if you are in a position where you are making decisions based on what a man will think or what a man will say, and you're not with the dude, or the negative connotations, you're contributing to the fucking problem.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Let's get into cancel culture, right? So let's get into cancel culture a little bit. So everyone's saying, let's stop cancel culture. I'm of the mindset that we need to keep it going, because the problem with not canceling people is once you hear shit about somebody, you kind of push it aside. All right, we're going to let it cook. You let it cook, you let it cook. And then you're a Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby raped, I'm assuming what they say, about 50-something people or 30-something people, whatever the number was.
It was several, yeah.
Let's say he only raped half of the people he said he did. It's still way too many people.
Absolutely. And, you know, but and that's a situation of power and control. Again, when you have certain things at your disposal, you know, you get to that place where certain things are open to you. You're used to everybody telling you yes, you know, and that's why oftentimes I do feel very sorry for celebrities, because you're in a fishbowl where, because of what you have, all of the people, nobody's going to check you, which is a dangerous place to be for a human being. You should have people in your life that's going to be like, yo, you're wildin'. And when you
human nature is fucked up in a way that, given the opportunity, niggas will do worst.
Humans have proven it throughout history and time.
Yeah, they
will do what is available to them. 9 times out of 10.
I'm gonna make a promise. If David Braff pulls in, I'm not gonna jump him. I'm not gonna jump David. I'm not gonna jump him, because when he called in for the R. Kelly show, his batshit fucking weird fucking position caught heat. Rightfully so, but I will not destroy him tonight. I will leave. You know, you'll be cooked.
Well, to be fair, I did understand what David was saying.
No, you didn't hear the show, Sam. You heard the show when he called in with talking about. I know what he was saying, but
however,
save that for
another
nigga.
Problematic, but I
problematic. Another part of tonight's show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and everybody
something's
is not
wrong.
Someone...
No, we need to let them be wrong. Some things have to be wrong. Some things need to be seen as wrong.
But
oh, they weren't wrong before. They're wrong
being,
now. Like,
that's just what it is. Unfortunately,
you heard someone say
the
word retarded. Just say it out loud. Just like not in a like in a, like a, like ah, just a normal setting, and it like hits you the wrong way. Like oof, you don't do that no more. Or midget,
yeah.
Number one, or just words that mm-hmm. just be saying it feels weird. It's like past mm-hmm. that. Because I know that somebody in the world is going to go, no, thank you. Because I know how I feel when I hear nigger. Like, if I hear nigger in a situation where I'm not supposed to hear it, meaning like rap or from my family, if I hear it like in a non-situation, it hits me like a fucking spear in the chest. So
oh, yeah.
I know that.
I'm wilding.
So when I imagine, like, I remember the first time that happened to me. And Jude, I was doing like something in Boston, so you can imagine. And I was going back and forth for fucking slurs. And I think I threw the K word out, and he was like, nope. He was
mm-hmm.
like, no, no thanks. And I mean, he
absolutely.
Wasn't mad. He was like, I don't like it. You know, I'm not a fan of it. And it hit me like, oh shit, like, we're not the only people in the world with shit we don't want to hear. There's a whole bunch of people in the world who don't want to hear shit. And I need
absolutely.
To. Act like the white people. Like I tell the white, don't say this. I need to be able to follow that same advice and not say that. So when someone goes, don't
totally
say
agree.
I stop. I'm like, nope, not do it. All you got to do is tell me once. That's off the fucking table. You got it. I'm not going to say it.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to argue you. I'm not going to argue you on what I can and can't say or why I can't say it. Because imagine if a white person goes, come here, nigger. You don't want to hear them argue. Just saying it, whatever. You don't want to hear an argument. You just go, you got it.
No, absolutely. And that's, you know,
yeah.
My issue a lot of the time when we're discussing things about, you know, women. That's my issue. You know, as black men, I expect better because of what we go through. You know, I don't say the word faggot around my gay friends, although they use it profusely. I don't feel like I have the right because I'm not, you know, in the inner circle of that community.
Yeah.
So it's not okay.
So remember that movie,
you know,
Eddie Murphy, that did, I think it was Raw Delicious. In the beginning, he comes out and he does his shit. He's talking about, oh, and then he gets a second. And it's so stark. Like, it feels like, what are you doing, bro? But then I remember when I first thought
yep.
it wasn't a big deal. It's a huge deal now. And it's not even because my kids gay the day is long. It's because it's just, I know they don't want to hear it. So
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to hear it, you're just going to make that thing feel less than. So I'm not going to make you feel less than. And that's
mm-hmm.
brings us back to what toxic masculinity. If you do something to make, if you as Christina, as a woman, as a sister, as a queen, I'm using the word queen facetiously here,
mm-hmm.
you go.
Not really.
And you go like this, I don't like that. Why, and this is, I'm going to throw this to people. You, I'm going to give people a number so they can call in if they like. 347-857-4302. Why don't y'all, if you feel differently or feel the same, why when she says or other women say, don't speak or say these things, why do you continue to say these things?
Because they
and
don't
Christina,
respect.
What's your opinion to why that's the case?
Because they don't have the empathy or the respect. It's a level of dehumanization. Period. It's not really complicated. It's not, you know, a blatant one, but there's, you know, this disrespect where you feel like, you know, using a colloquialism is like more important than what this person is telling you about their experience.
When you are for your own experience, let's crouch in your own experience. So when you are somebody who goes like, hey, I feel you, but like, still, this is not cool. How do they respond to you?
When someone has said, say that one more time?
So, like, once you've already said, like, hey, boom, boom, this is what my situation is, and, like, I don't like that, what is the response? So, like, for you, when you tell them, I think this is wrong, what is the response?
Well, usually people aren't expect, you know, people laugh stuff off a lot. So if you come out and you're very clear and concise about this is something that's wrong, people are usually like, oh, wow, I've had that experience. I don't have the experience of, unless it's in a Facebook group, man, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. You know, that's kind of what I
yeah.
get in Facebook groups. not really in real life.
So when you're this is a potential relationship. So we're talking about that. So have you ever dealt with toxic masculinity in a relationship?
Oh yeah. As a woman, you're gonna deal. You know, it's like racism. I've had white people ask me, oh, you know, do you think I'm racist? I said everybody's racist to some degree. You know, maybe you don't mind having black neighbors, but you may not want a black man marrying your daughter. You understand what I'm saying? So, there's level. Yes, I've dealt with extreme toxic masculinity with someone, you know, with domestic violence and someone wanting to control me, feeling that is how, you know, a relationship is supposed to go. And then I've dealt with, you know, little things like, you know, I don't know, maybe things that, you know, a guy wouldn't do or they didn't want me to do versus, you know, wanting me to talk to them about doing certain things beforehand or things, you know, you're wearing and stuff like that, you know, are littler things, I think.
So in that instance, right, so for example, you meet somebody, right? You met somebody. Hey, what's going on? Da, 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 such, such. I got a beard, 6 feet, something, whatever. And he's not controlling, but if you go like, trying to think of the perfect way this would play itself in a relationship, give me a second. He'd be like, you know what? Like, oh, that's my friend. It's like, oh, that's my friend Daniel. You know, we're going to go hang out. We're going to talk. He goes, oh, I'm going to talk that nigga for. Or not controlling, but more of the matter of, like, who's that nigger, and then inserting himself in that space or saying that, like, you're like, oh, I feel this, and then, like, I know you feel that way, but you're probably being emotional right now.
No, that wouldn't fly with me personally. I think everybody would have – I think that you have to be – on one accord in relationships with people. You have to pick people that you are like-minded with. That wouldn't fly with me. You know, if I know that, you know, this is not my ex, this is a friend, and this person is insecure and comfortable with me, I know from experience what can happen when a man is insecure, and I'm not doing that.
What about, in terms of, like, not in terms of that, but, like, or, you know what, before I forget, because we're close to time, I want to make sure we're clear, in terms of cancel culture, what's your opinion on that?
As far as cancel culture, I do think it's getting out of hand.
Speak on it.
I think that that people are bringing up things, for example, someone did in their past, you know. With cancel culture, you are essentially saying that people cannot change a lot of the time, you know, and I think that that's dangerous for some people, like me personally, on an individual level, because I don't believe in making what I feel law for everybody else. I can't listen to R. Kelly anymore because it makes me feel a way. I'm sorry.
Who's been canceled you feel shouldn't have been canceled?
Probably get a lot of heat for this, but, you know, being that I've experienced it, I feel like I have the Chris Brown.
Why do you Chris Brown? I don't think he's been canceled.
Well, in some ways, you know, he still is constantly going
to
be talking about
that. Cancel him, but
I don't think anybody is necessarily really totally canceled. There's always going to be some people that are listening
R. Kelly is not people. The thing is that if I was to write now and go, oh, I'm trying to fuck with R. Kelly, that'd be it. The show would be canceled. It'd be done. Like, the reason David Braff got canceled, because you know why he got canceled, right? You know what he said?
Oh, my God. Please.
This motherfucker said Coming to America is not a fucking classic. That's why he's gone. That's why if you would have David Braff, Remy right now is a goddamn widow. Because he's gone. He's been Thanos snapped off existence because that was a ridiculous thing to fucking say. But I'm saying if
Danny,
I
have to actually take this. I have to take this call really quick. Can you take a caller really quick? I'll come back.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be here. Bye.
Okay.
All right. This is relatively different for us. We normally have guests the whole way through, but it's fine. You could always call in 347-857-4302. Let's get some monologuing in. So pretty much what I feel in terms of cancel culture, right, is that I feel the concept of it is necessary. I feel the idea of people who have done fucked up shit out the paint is necessary. Now, there should be lines to it. I don't think we should just throw people out unilaterally based off nonsense. Like, Liam Neeson, I'm kind of on the fence because I kind of get it, but also understand why he needs to go. You know, because when he didn't apologize to the people who need to apologize. And his thought process for even bringing that up had nothing to do with being black. He could literally just said a guy. Like a bloke would have worked. If he'd been like, oh, I went out looking for a bloke and I'm going to smash his head in, that'd have been it. It would have been fine. It would have literally been a cool story. But the fact that he involved the race into it changed up. And the fact that he did not apologize specifically for race or the reason for bringing up the conversation wasn't about the race was weird. So I also understand why you got to get rid of him. But you sometimes, most times, now anyway, you got to get rid of people because there's so many people kind of sitting around the joint that we're not managing, right? So, like, I bring up Cosby a bunch, but I feel like Cosby is someone we should have been sorted out. We didn't because we did not want to be. I think you're going to learn about me as we do the show, and I think you figure this out. I have a real hard time with tribalism. I feel like we are held back. Hey, what's up? Yeah, but I have a real hard time with tribalism, and I feel like we cleave to shit. I mean, you let some people go. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was a ship, everybody wouldn't be on it. Some people gotta go. Like, it should be easy. Boom, you gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, if we would have, as soon as we do the Cosby's out here, fucking people, gotta get him out of here. Not claiming him and saying that this nigga was buying NBC. We gotta get him out of pain. And then if he figured
you think,
it out, we'll
you
let him
think
back
Chris
in.
Brown needed to go?
I think Chris Brown's not gone. I feel like Chris Brown's.
But if he was, would you think
you know
he's somebody
what?
That
like
needs...
he's, the thing that Chris Brown did, he beat Rihanna up. Let's just call it spade a spade. Chris Brown beat Rihanna up. He's been involved in shenanigans. Do I feel like he should be out the paint? No. Do I feel like he should be on a? Because he's a young man and needs help. He's probably not a young man anymore. He's a man who needs help. But at some point. Like, if he did some other fuck shit, I think we need to, like, if he slapped somebody else, he's got to go.
Well, absolutely. I think that what I see with Chris Brown, which, you know, ties into also toxic masculinity and how women participate in that, I do think that we don't give men and young men the space to grow. I think that, you know, toxic masculinity is very one and done. You make a mistake, it's over for you. Like, that just goes
well,
against
is it true?
Our
is
very
really
humanity.
True? Is it true? Name one person that's, name one person has been one and done. So I don't think that's true. I think we give a lot of people a lot of
going. I think that's where cancel culture is going. I'm not saying that it's necessarily there, but I do think that's where cancel culture is going, you know, and it does, as a person who is well-versed in groupthink, as a person who is nervous about mob mentality, I, even though certain opinions piss me off, we need to continue that. And
well,
I don't want to,
hear my theory
you know,
then. So hear my theory on this, is that once we pull the trigger back, we allow things that, you know, like at some point, things need to be held for review. We need to let the white blood cells do their job. And now, I don't think we should throw people out right away. I think people need to be reviewed and given a fair shake. Right? So I agree with you there. It could just be like, oh, we heard he did some shit? Get him out of here.
But
for example,
you have to admit
raping
that
somebody.
Right now, things are happening and being reviewed by popular culture and in the eyes of the masses. And what do we know about the masses? The masses are not critical thinkers. The climate that we're in, we don't even get really reliable news all of the time. We have this sort of culture where everyone's trying to have the story first and put things out there. And, you know, we don't have the climate where, you know, like academia or something, where things need to be vetted and we take a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at work today reading some information on a patient that's supposed to come to the hospital, and there was some information there, and I was like, and I purposefully said, nope, this is an allegation, and I am not going to allow that to take over my mind. You know what I mean? Just the other day, you know, with CPS allegations, I saw an article where many CPS workers or, you know, child protection agency workers were arrested for not doing their job, for, I think, some false claims, things like that. So we need to be better critical thinkers, and we can't be judge, jury, and executioner all the time.
I get it.
That's why I have a problem with cancel culture. Not because I want to still listen to R. Kelly, but because...
No, I know. Like, I feel like you're asking for something that's impossible right now. Like, you're asking for nuance in a world that's no nuance. So the argument should be, do you want it to cook or do you want it to sit? Because I agree with you. There should be nuance. There should be discussion. There should be debate. It should be like, hey, you know what? This is a first offense. Or this makes sense. But there is no nuance anymore. There's no more nuance. There's tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
There's everybody cleaving themselves in different directions. So at some point,
mm-hmm.
do you want overarching mob justice or no justice at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a terrible choice.
It is a terrible choice. But the thing is that what you're describing, there's no way anyone's going to be like, all right, let's take a break, everybody. Let's think this through. There's no more thinking it through. It's either letting a nigga cook for decades and we don't say nothing,
yeah.
or we all decide a nigga's guilty because, like, for example, when Chris Brown's a world, we thought Chris Brown was somebody. I didn't even, 8894, push one if you want to speak. Wait, oh, we got through. Wait. Hello? 9171, oh, I think it's Chantel. Chantel, push one.
Hello?
Who am I speaking to?
That ain't Chantel.
That is not Chantel.
Who is this?
Hey, she got a cold.
It's Brav. I got off the phone with my kid to check in on y'all.
Wait, hold on. You got a kid?
Yeah, I got a stepkid. You knew that already. You knew that already.
We're learning new shit every day. This nigga got a seed. That's how
I got stepkids. I got stepkids. You know that already.
All right, 9171, you there? I'm going to get everybody on. We don't got enough time for one-on-one. So 9171, you're there? If not, that's fine. Push one if you want to speak. All right, good one, nigga. Say your piece.
I ain't really had that. I was going to jump in when y'all were saying all that ridiculousness that I disagreed with. Now y'all are making sense. So, you know, I was just listening.
Oh, boy. Whoop-de-woo. Whoop de woo. We was talking.
We go.
Get the fuck out of here. What? No, you know what? I got it. What were you saying that didn't make sense, my nigga?
It's not that. It's just like, you know, just it's very convenient. It's very convenient and very easy to just fall in line with the whole wrap up everything in toxic masculinity and lay it at men's feet type of that narrative.
That things, you do not believe in hegemonic masculinity. You don't believe in it.
No, I believe there is a thing called toxic masculinity. I think that it exists, but I think it's put up on a big billboard, a big spotlight is put on toxic masculinity, and way down in the corner, and we have toxic femininity, too. Like, in a little dot in the corner.
You know what's so funny, fam? You know what's funny? Is that in the world, up top, it's masculinity, but wait, of course, it's femininity. So
that's bullshit.
That's totally bullshit. It should be the actual version of it.
That's
nigga, why do you do this?
Bullshit.
You are so clever.
That's total bullshit.
So fucking wrong. So
just to hop on board with the political correctness machine. Like, I don't even like that. Like the fact that I'm
about?
On the
Sam,
anti.
What are you even talking about?
I'm
Sam,
talking about
talking
the fact
about?
That that's a huge mischaracterization of the way things actually work in the world. Masculinity
world?
In this
all
world.
Right. Hey, Christina, if you went into a job right now and said, "Hey, I want to get a promotion. I'm going to get a promotion. You want to speak your point in a meeting." What are you worried about in a meeting? If you go to a meeting with like your higher-ups, what are things you're genuinely concerned about? David, listen to her when she speaks. Go ahead, Christina.
Of
not,
course. I will fall back and put my toxic masculinity down.
Not being.
What are you actually
seriously.
Concerned about? Like, what's your concerns if you go to a meeting and you want to speak your mind? What are you worried
not
about?
Not being taken seriously, being emotional, mm-hmm. being my passion. Being seen as emotional, my same perhaps cutthroatness that you would have in a perhaps corporate setting would be seen as, you know, again, emotional or angry or aggressive. Yeah, those things.
Do you ever have that problem in a space, David? Now, listen, but she said, do you ever have that problem being seen as emotional, being seen as way too aggressive, too loud? Is that an issue you have?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God almighty.
Are you serious?
Ooh.
As a black man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, seen as emotional, but emotion is different. They fear your anger. It's a, yeah, I'm afraid
but
that
do you
I
get
can't be too aggressive or there's going to be this level of intimidation of the scary black man. So I have to tone that
do
down.
They dismiss you out of hand? You get dismissed for that anger.
I don't personally get I can't personally say I have been dismissed in this instance, but I do know
Christina,
that
you
get
dismissed?
Kind of there is
yes.
a certain level of brushing off that it's like, you know, there are the white executive types speaking and that you trying to make yourself a part of that conversation, you can get that feedback like, okay, you know, you're kind of like the low key, like, oh, you know, you're here because we're giving you a wink, wink, you know, letting you be in the room type of feeling. So there is something else.
That's a situation we all have that you just want a black face in the room.
Yeah,
you hear what Christina said. She
absolutely.
Does get dismissed. So the thing is that they're saying a thing. Why can't we ever just address and agree to what they're saying? Why do we always need to argue?
Who's
with
they?
Saying?
Who's they?
You, nigga. She literally
said, why can't we agree to what they're saying? Who is they? You're talking about women?
They. I'm talking about Christina goes, I feel dismissed.
Okay.
And it happened.
Okay.
Women are dismissing us. Niggas are dismissing us.
I'm not discounting that that's a bad thing to happen and that that should not happen.
You know what? I want to make this conversation more constructive. David, how did you come to your belief? Like, what informed you, in your opinion?
As far as what, specifically?
You know, just
as far
your,
as the
male-female,
the male-female dynamic, the black male-black
yeah, what,
female
what,
dynamic?
David, what, where did you come to that? Yeah, exactly. That's my Terry Gross question.
You know, honestly, it's listening to black women. I listen to the woman's side of things way more than I listen to the men, because the men can't look into women's minds and speak what they're feeling. I know I get offended when I hear women talk about how to be a man and what men think, and I'm listening. I'm like, you're getting that shit all wrong. So I listen to what women say. But
what made you? How did you figure out, like, in terms of being a man, like what? Informed your idea of manhood to you?
What informed my idea of manhood?
Yeah, that's a better question, I believe. And Christina, when he's done, answer that same question.
That's actually a difficult. That's a hard thing to say. I mean, obviously, my father's a huge influence in that department. I wouldn't say that I'm very much. You know what? We're similar in certain ways, but we're not carbon copy. I'm not a carbon copy of my dad, but I do know that I learned from my father what it means to have quiet strength, what it means to be strong and steadfast in a situation without having to be loud or overbearing, being able to be a peaceful man and still exude a power in that and still be able to be kind and powerful. I learned that from my dad. I thought those are powerful lessons.
Okay.
And that defined for me, that helped inform me about what manhood is. Like, you don't have to be, you know, the toxic male. You don't have to be that. And there are a lot of men that aren't that. That's what I guess that's
so
my takeaway.
So why do you feel the need to, you know what, Noah, Christina, how did you come across your idea of what manhood is?
observing. And being told the different messages that I was given about men. One of the things that I always point to, I was actually talking about this today, I was always constantly told that men are stupid, you know, and dismissing their behaviors, you know, it was always a lack of accountability, like, oh, men are just like this. Being told, you know, you can't do certain things, you have to be very cautious because men are like this. Men can be dangerous. And although I think it's kind of, I shouldn't say understood, but supposed to be understood that, of course, not all men, because I did experience wonderful men in my life, but it was an overarching idea, TV, media, messages from different people that, you know, men are the way they are, and that's kind of a constant. And as a woman, you're going to have to be able to navigate that. That's not going to change.
To David's point of view, can't you change your idea, realizing that how you're being perceived and what you're like dying on the hill, the people who do not deserve your lancing, if that makes sense. Like, you're fighting for people who do not deserve, like, you're a good dude, you treat your wife well, she seems solid, you treat your friends well. You're not that dude, but you're speaking on an intellectual level of people who do not deserve defense.
No, I'm not. In the intellectual level, I'm speaking in defense of other dudes like me who are constantly lumped
no
in with toxic
you.
Males. Of
course, no,
they are.
Like, when I hear toxic masculinity,
of course they
I
are.
It personally,
you're
I'm
not.
Not.
You're not.
How am I not?
You're not.
To me and you. But just to me and you. Honestly, what's the difference between me and you and why I'm not being clued into toxic masculinity? You are. Why are we different?
Oh, we're not different.
As far as
being included in toxic masculinity or being portrayed a certain way or whatever, the same thing is happening to you that's happening to me. Only I take notice and I'm like, I don't like that shit and I'm going to say something about it. You are like, you know what? This is the natural overflow of toxic masculinity happening in the world, and I'm just going to accept this.
Because at some level, 171, if you want to speak, push 1. If you have an issue,
hey.
Like I feel like that. Oh, Branch.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Branch rapping.
Hi, guys. If I told you what I was doing right now, you guys would be mad.
For Pam to call down.
Oh, Pam is my baby. Go ahead, Jenny. You were in the middle of a thought, so you should finish.
No, I'm just saying that the difference between me and you is that I feel like as a white person, when people are white, you have to take some shrapnel. Even if you're not a shitty white dude, you have to take an L and more than a blue moon because you are part of a group that's in power. So I'm not able to defend myself because I feel like I'm in a position where I'm in power. I need to take an L from time to time
I might not deserve that L, because the L has come in my way because of who I am as a person. You feel the need to defend yourself all the time, and I don't know why.
Not necessarily.
Because
no,
you
no,
are
no, no. You read
you
that.
You,
that's what you read. That's what you read. And what? And Crudup, once you latch onto a definition or interpretation of a situation, prying it out of your cold, dead hands is something of an endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
You
all
see,
right, Branch, since you're new to here, so go on, Branch. What's your bailiwick?
Well, you asked, what is my – the reason why I called was just because I think what Dave is trying to – I think what y'all are missing is – and I think that might have been where you were going when you're talking about the white people of black people, the kind of like the privilege that men have, and the fact that you tend to like not want to fight it, but you and David are on the same page. Am I understanding this correctly?
Oh, that I
yes.
was saying. I,
you are.
Yeah, I was saying that. You know, he the same effect is happening to both of us. I just react to it, and Danny accepts it because it's like, oh yeah, well. You know, toxic masculinity and men are creeps. So, you know, yeah, I accept this overflow of being angry.
There's a few reasons why I called her. One, I'm a weird black person who most of my time with black men is only experienced in social spaces. So when I think of toxic masculinity, I don't only think of black men. I don't even think of black men first.
Exactly.
Because
when I first met
Red,
she did not think black men were capable of terrible things. That's true. That's
no,
bad.
That's not true. But that
I know
sounds
I'm
good.
Facetious.
Yeah, no, it's just that my experience with what is like very fucked up masculinity and black men suffer from it too. So I hate when I see it because I know where I see it from first. So I've been working in office spaces since I'm 19, 42. I know what I'm telling you. And being a black lady, on top of that, you'll have people really – I can't get this open. You have people who you can tell them that the sky is blue, and they'll go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then, you know, when somebody who looks like them says it, that's male, they're like, oh, my God, Chantel, did you know the sky was blue?
Yep.
Yeah. Nuts. So I don't have a fear because I don't care about the angry black woman shit of saying, I told your ass the sky was blue 3 months ago. But here we are.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, Brad, and confirming
it. Woo, woo, woo. Good hell. Oh, my God. Are you all right? Everything all right at home? You seem to really be overreacting right now. Hey, Deborah, could we schedule some alone time in the room? We need to speak to Chantel.
Right.
She seems to be carrying on.
Right.
You really good?
But the one thing, I'm usually good. Once it's funny because once you get
Darnell,
that way, people leave you alone.
True.
Yeah.
Darnell,
once you get
Darnell.
Firm,
Darnell,
they leave you alone. But in terms of the toxic, the masculinity issues, a lot of patriarchy shit is what I feel like we deal with socially. All of that, I don't know. Brass, I know that you come off different than what you really are, but sometimes it does be sounding like you're toeing the line, but I know better. I know you're
right. Oh, yeah. Listen.
Brass a good dude.
I'm just going to throw
Brass
two things. I'm going to throw two things out there.
David, David is like literally a lobbyist for Cobra, right? Like, Cobra's shit, fam. G.I. Joe's the hero, but you're constantly trying to fight Cobra's fucking fight for them. You're not that nigga. No one's
right.
talking about you. When it's talking about
okay, you're high right now. You're bugging. You're bugging.
I'm
you're
not.
Bugging.
What I'm trying
you're
to
bugging.
Say is that
you're
always,
bugging. You're bugging.
You're
bugging.
You're always arguing. That Corbin's bad. There's no good.
This is how I define if I can define myself for a moment and outline why I come off that. And I think I've made this analogy before, not putting myself in the place, not necessarily ignore the power differential between teacher and student for a moment and just take the example for the example. But when you look at, when you think back to school and you think about the teachers that were on your ass, that stayed on you about every little thing you do. And it's like, yo, they hated me. That teacher hated me. And then you find out later on in life, like, no, That teacher was the one that liked you. That's the teacher.
Wait, you
that
had an experience of teachers hating you, fam?
Whatever. You feel that,
right,
but that's
man.
Not actually the case. They're hard on you.
Right, that tells me a lot about you. All right. Hey.
They're hard on you because they realized it in life.
Shut up, could you imagine a teacher hating you? I don't like
hated me.
Could you fucking imagine? All right, but we're about to wrap up. I want to speak, first off, speak about the Permagen talk, which I've heard the first,
yeah.
The first episode. It's very dulcet, guys, so be careful. Smooth. It's featuring Goody and Chantel. Where can we listen to that show?
It's on all the DSPs. So you can be the SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple, it's everywhere.
I can't wait to be in the show.
Before I go, I'm over here boiling herbs. So,
all right,
boiling herbs. Yeah, I figured you'd appreciate that. I'm being a bruja over here.
All right, bruja.
Somebody's
over here
being
toxic. Good fuck, bruja.
I'm just over here being toxic and masculine.
All right. Shout out to your show, David Rapp. Give me a shout real quick, David.
Yeah, yes, litbkny.com. You know about that. Get your shirts and all that good shit and all that fly shit.
Oh, David, make that shirt for me. I need the IQ shirt.
Nigga, really doing business on my goddamn.
You don't know
what
the fuck I be,
fair enough.
Nigga. Yeah, and 11203 Productions, holla.
And Christina, anything you got going on?
No.
Love that plug.
All right, everybody, it's been a pleasure. I'm heading off to City Island. I will talk to you guys later. Good night.
Good night.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.